know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour.
200 miles per hour.
200 miles an hour. Or Stevie, you there?
Stevie?
No, we've already blown Stevie completely.
Oh, my God, did you blow him away?
We blew Stevie completely off the line.
Steve.
Steve's choking
guys,
over there. He's choking.
Yeah.
Right,
you probably blew the wax right out of your ears. Holy
you all right, Stevie?
Moly.
I need more volume. I can barely hear you guys.
More volume? How about now? Is that better? Is that better?
Remember, you know, I'm used to, you know, anywhere between 8,000 to 16,000 horsepower.
That's right.
I mean,
loud, fast.
I don't
fast.
Hear real well unless it's like being in the military and the artillery.
You should be getting lots of volume.
All right.
I'm blowing off the meters here, so.
All right.
What's going on, Stevie?
Oh, guys, I just made my way back from way out west where we went out to the Cresto Hand Cleaners Pacific Nationals. And, oh, man, what a wild weekend.
Now, this is all Harley drags we're talking.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It was kind of a disappointment from the weather out in Seattle because, unfortunately, it did rain us out. But we did get a lot of racing in on Saturday, and we'll be talking about that. And something I wanted to bring up, too, before we get into that, on Sunday we had a motorcycle ride come in here from all over the Northwest, and it's for the children's ride number 12. And all these riders come from all over the West out there and to raise money for the children's hospital. And then so far in their 12 rides, they've generated over $800,000. Now, I don't know how much on this last one they generated, but it was a nice sum. And you got to remember, it was raining. And here they come. Over 1,000 bikes come rolling into track. I mean, it was an awesome, awesome sight. And these guys have got hearts, just solid gold. They're wonderful, wonderful people. But when it comes to racing now, I'm going to talk about some of the action that goes down and some of the different things. Tonight, in fact, I've got Stan Shepard. Stan, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Stevie. How are you doing?
Doing good. Well, Stan Shepard, he's way out there in California, one of the California boys, but we don't hold that against him now. And they do race out there just a little bit. And Stan, tell us a little bit about your class and what you run and what kind of bike it is.
Basically, I run the ProGas class, and it's kind of the wide open gas class with the All Harley Drag Racing Association. I mean, you can have a 200 cubic inch normally aspirated engine. You can run up to 160 inch, and you can put nitrous or a blower or turbo on the bike, or at 122 inches max, you can run a blower nitrous combination. So it's for the backyard tinkers that want to go out there and play with some big horsepower.
Well, you know, guys, I will tell you one thing about what Stan hasn't told you. Yes, he does race in pro gas, but this man, he is racing in three different classes. You talk about a guy that jumps from bike to bike to bike. He races an ET, he races an SEP, and am I correct, Stan? Aren't you number one in the points in the SEP class?
In the SEP, I'm number one West Coast. Unfortunately, because of the pulling time off work, I can only race West Coast, but I'm now currently number one in the points West Coast and SEP.
So you're somewhat on a limited schedule as to how you can run your bike and how many times a year?
Right. Basically, the West Coast is six races, Phoenix, Dallas, Portland, Seattle, Pomona, and then the finals in Vegas.
So far, how has this season been treating you?
I've done in the first two races what I've been would really be happy doing the entire year. I've basically six races. I made three finals. I won one, and then I red lit in the other two, one by 0.02 of a second, and one by 0.14 of a second. So I'm there, but I knew I had to push the tree because I was kind of at a performance disadvantage on two of the finals.
Well, you know, guys, just to give you an idea, when you hear a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 difference between these bikes, to blink your eye, takes 0.08 of a second. It's that close. And I always make the comment, it's like laying a toothpick between the tires at the finish line. They're probably within an inch, 2 inches at the speeds they run. It's incredibly close action. So those are tough ones to lose.
Now, Yeah, but, you know, like I say, I knew I had to push the tree on both of those, and I pushed it just a little bit too far, so... But that's the way it goes sometimes. But still, you know, making three finals out of six races, and two of the classes had 32-plus bikes in them, so that's not a bad start to the year. And then Seattle was not bad to me either, a number one qualifying position and a number two qualifying position. So it's not a bad start to the year.
Well, it was fun to watch you up there, and I will tell you guys that one of the things that all the riders like to do is they like to come out and be recognized for the number one qualifier in their particular class. And Stan, who is no stranger to the winner's circle now, in fact, he's had eight wins, you know, since 1994, I believe. And Stan said that the one thing he's never been able to do is be number one qualifier. And Stan, so tell us what you talked me into doing on that one.
Well, basically, it looked like we were going to get rained out, so I said, tell you what, Steve, if I come up the starting line, even in the rain, you know, give me a little howdy from the tower, and sure enough, he did.
Well, it was raining, and here comes Stan in the rain, and he's bound to determine he's going to get his 30 seconds of glory out there, and he's going to finally be introduced. And I gave him one hell of an introduction, and of course, he was polite and casual as he bowed to those empty stands with a raindrop pouring about as hard as you could get. But we got it captured on film, so it's going to be one of the classics. That was a lot of fun. Well, Stan, away from that now, let's go back to something that you've done for several years. Now, you're not doing this year, but you'd been the past president on the Sportsman's Racing Association. Am I correct on that? For what, 3 years?
Yeah, I was the president for 3 years. Basically, the Sportsman Racers Association started out, the Sportsman Racers is kind of where people get into the sport of drag racing Harleys, and they're kind of the stepchild to the pro classes. So the way we were handled by the HDRA was creating some issues, so... A gentleman started the Sportsman Racers Association, and then I took it over and became president for 3 years. And basically, it gave the voice to the Sportsman Racers with the association. And basically, they corrected a lot of the things that were causing issues, which caused the formation of the association.
Is the association, are they still functioning now, or what is the status on that?
The status is right now it's kind of on hold. Because of work commitments, I had to back out this year, and so really nobody's taken over the ball and kind of run with it. So, but basically the reason it was started is how the sportsman racers were being treated, and that's improved a whole lot over the last 3 years.
So right now, we really don't apparently have the problems that we had back then, and you must have done a pretty good job as a president, because we're able to relax that a little bit, huh?
Right, yes, and they got a board made up of both pro racers and sportsmen racers that advise the HDRA on issues that affect all the racers. You know, we want to come out there, we want to have a good time, we enjoy racing, and I don't want to sit out in the sun for 2 hours waiting to make my pass. That gets so, especially when it's hot, that makes it a little
tough
on you.
Stall, yeah. So that was the issues and stuff that do arise relate to is just like calling bikes to lanes or safety issues, this type of thing?
Hey, it was not really safety issues. It's just, like I say, when you get called up, you want to be able to go out there and race. Yeah, we have oil downs, those things happen, but, you know, we call out and we'd be out there for an hour, and then they pull us off because they have to run the pros on a preset schedule, and if we had oil downs or something like that, it would just, I say, but basically they've really worked at correcting a lot of the issues that the sportsman racers have, and basically the sportsman racers end up moving up in classes and becoming a pro, which is exactly what happened with me. Is I got into it on the sportsman bike and then moved up into the pro classes.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun being out there with you this past weekend, and I do appreciate you coming on the show tonight. And hopefully we need to get you not only up there to talk about you coming up as the number one qualifier, but I'd like to see you at the end of the day when you have the win, too, and we'll get you back on the show one more time. Well, Stan, thank you so much for coming on this evening. It was an absolute blast. Guys, you got anything you want to ask Stan before we let him go?
Well, I tell you, man, we were just hanging here listening to this. It's pretty amazing. What exactly is a sportsman? Because I'm not really up on the drag racing thing. I've been doing the stock car racing forever. What exactly is a sportsman?
A sportsman typically are slower bikes. When I say slow bikes, a sportsman bike, you can get sportsman bikes that are running in the 8 seconds now.
How fast is that in miles per hour?
You're looking at 140, 145 miles an hour, 150.
Well, Stan, I don't know why you're going so slow.
Yeah. Now, the pro classes typically are going to run from, the mid-eights down into the sixes. And, you have the top fuel, pro fuel, pro drag, pro gas, pro mod, pro stock classes. And typically these are more expensive bikes to run in, and they're running, like I say, down into the low sixes.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Stan, you were talking earlier about the win with, two-tenths of a second. Can you feel that guy next to you?
Oh, yeah. And two-tenths is a huge win, okay? A lot of these races are...
Two-thousandths, rather. I'm sorry.
...decided by thousandths of a second. I mean, you're a half or a quarter of a bike length at the end of the track. And it's really some intense racing.
Now, the difference between racing a car versus racing a bike, taking off from the line, I mean, you got to be a lot more careful with trying to pull a hole shot and stuff, right?
Oh, no. I dumped the clutch at 6,500 RPM. I'm pulling 3 Gs off the line, carrying the front wheel out there for 60, 70 feet on a pro gas bike. The top fuel bikes, when they drop the clutch, they're carrying the front wheel over 1,000 feet down the track. In fact, the scariest thing for a top fuel rider is when they set down that front wheel doing 200 miles an hour and the wheel stopped.
So it's really a one-wheel deal.
A one-wheel deal.
Yes. Yeah, it's exciting on the launch line, yes. But, you're just dumping the clutch and going.
So now when you start feeling that bike maybe drifting towards the center line or something, do you actually steer it or do you lean? How do you handle that?
It's basically like water skiing. You're shifting your body weight and using your feet on the pegs to basically control the bike, to keep it going right, left. Hopefully you're going straight down the track, but that doesn't always happen.
Now, we see a lot of times in the upper classes of drag racing, tire shake. Do you get tire shake in your bike?
I've run into tire shake, yeah, and that's typically a function of, in any drag racing, the clutch setup is critical. If you don't get the right air pressure tire, the right clutch setup, the right wheelie bar height, I mean, all of this impacts it, and yeah, you can get some tire shake, and you'll just shake that tire going right down the track. It'll just leave divots going down the track.
Well, but the difference is that John Force is sitting down, and you're straddling the motor.
You know what? It would scare the hell out of me to go down the track in a 7-second car, but on a bike, I'm comfortable as hell.
That's wild, man. That is wild. What's your future plan, Stan?
Well, I'm 57 years old. I'm having a blast, and I figure I got another 5 or 6 years of racing left in me, so I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, Stevie, got anything else for Stan?
No, that pretty well sums it up. We gave him a new nickname after this last weekend. We now call him the Cowboy. Stan Shepard. It was one heck of a ride.
Cowboy Stan, all right. Appreciate it. Thank you much for being on here with us on Real Racing, and we'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Armed with your trusty marker, you do the impossible. Make an incredibly dirty place even dirtier.
Scribble it down now.
Your jokes make us pee our pants. Lucky for us,
they're down around our ankles.
Yeah!
You answer our most vexing question. Whatever happened to the man from Nantucket?
Oh, that's a good one.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh ruler of the rhyme. Because when we're looking for a good time, we call you.
Oh, Mr. Bathroom Stall Duty Joe Brider.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
For you, the daily commute isn't simply a drive to the office. It's a hands-on exploration deep into your schnoz.
I'm going in now.
With pinpoint accuracy and sheer determination, you dig for boogers like miners dig for gold.
Hit the jackpot!
And why do you do it? 'Cause the windows are up and you think we can't see you. We can.
How you doing?
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh nabber of the nose nugget. We'd like to shake your hand, but you'll have to wash it first.
Mr. Indica.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Coming back with Steve. I understand there's a possible new heir for the Top Fuel division.
Well, we're going to talk to a man tonight, Ron Homme. Now, this is the Top Fuel pilot. This man rides on a rocket. Dips down the six-second zone, goes way into the 200-mile-an-hour barrier. He busted every time. But he's experimenting now, and he's got something new, and we're going to talk with him tonight. Ron, how you doing this evening?
Doing great. Thanks, Steve.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm going straight to the motor. And one of the things that when we talked, I was fascinated with, and I'd heard they talk about it, going around the pits, and that is you have a 60-degree 5-inch bore, 5-inch stroke motor, and that's a relatively new engine, am I correct?
Yeah, it is new. Actually, this last weekend, I would have, including the test session on Friday and three rounds of qualifying, I would have had 15 quarter-mile rounds on this new combination that we put together. You know, traditionally, the Harley motor is a 45-degree, and, you know, over the last few years, they've come up with a 60-degree V-rod, they call it. And that's basically what they're running in the Pro Stock NHRA classes right now. And we've switched that whole combination over, or that concept over, to the 60-degree.
Well, now, you went into a four-stroke combination, 5-on-5. Now, the pistons in this motorcycle, they have to be the size of trash cans, 5 inches across. That is massive. What is the total cubic inch on this motor?
196 cubic inch.
Now, is there a certain four-stroke combination like that generates more power? Have they found this to be an extremely, or I should say, more efficient as far as producing power?
Well, traditionally, a square motor is a better running motor combination there in the V8 world anyway. And with this combination we have, of course, with that 60-degree and spreading them cylinders apart, allows us to have a full-skirted piston now, where with the 45-degree at the bottom of the stroke, we have to cut away on the skirts on a 45-degree motor. So this is, again, giving us more support in the cylinder, and that 5-inch bore is a newer kind of a concept. There are a few other guys out there that are also experimenting with that, and initially out of the 15 runs we've made, I mean, the second quarter mile pass with this motor, I ran the 665 at 206 mile an hour, and it's just a learning deal here with this combination. It takes fuel differently. The clutch, everything seems to react completely different from my older 175 combination, and I see great results with it.
So there's a lot more power that you're seeing, but what I guess the point that I do want to bring up, I know this motor is generating great power right now. It's injected, am I correct?
It is, yes.
Okay. you told me that you were talking about the possibility of a blower going on this Harley.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 800 horsepower.
A blower?
We are.
With 800 injected right now. And he's talking about putting a blower on it. I know you're still in the learning stages on this thing, but tell us a little bit just how do you go about putting a blower on something like this? What is it all going to involve, and what kind of problems do you run into?
Well, I guess the problems will probably be money related at the beginning of the whole concept, because it's going to take a bit of R&D for sure to make that combination work. The idea of the 60-degree is a perfect fit for something like that, again, because we have a full skirted piston for support in the cylinder, and 60-degree allows us that much more room on the intake track for plumbing, et cetera, for the blower. I mean, there are Europeans right now running the blowers on a 45-degree motors, so it isn't something that hasn't been tried, but I think that with this 60-degree, again, it gives it that much more of a good baseline to work with, or a good combination to work with, I should say.
I know you want here. Cold air, but we got some hot air here. I think we should attach Jock to the intake of the motor.
Go ahead. I had somebody calling in there.
Guys, I don't think we can hear you. Can you guys turn up your volume?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Real weak.
Real weak?
Yep.
Craig's weak like that.
It must be a long connection. We're up there. We're pretty loud.
Okay, just think of us as we're in the artillery. We're asking you to play us a song. Play it loud.
There you go. All right.
All right, we can hear you now.
There we go.
That's because that's Jack.
That's Jack.
Okay. What do you want to ask, Ron?
No, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay. Right. So, now with this blower concept, and I know you got to do a lot of R&D and everything, how is it going to be as far as clearances with your legs? How's your body going to be able to adapt to it? Because the thing's got to come out the side. How big will something like this be? And will it cause a problem going down the track, being able to stay stable to where it doesn't want you to pull to one side?
Well, that's going to be down the road for something like that, Steve. I'm just happy with what we're getting right now with the injected, fuel right now. And the idea is that it is a perfect fit down the road here to work on that combination. And I'm just happy with what we've got right now, just working on that. And when I mentioned to you the other day was that down the road, this would be a perfect fit for a blower combination. And that there, again, is going to take some R&D and some money behind it for me to be able to pursue that particular, racing avenue in that. And I'm happy with what we're doing right now. I mean, I'm all the way up here in British Columbia, Canada, and just to make the U.S. event becomes quite a task as it is here. I mean, generally, most of them are on the East Coast there, so for me to travel, say, to Rockingham or something, that there is over a 6,000-mile trip there and back. So,
yeah.
Lately here, I've been staying close to home working on this stuff, and we run a couple of weeks from now at an IHRA event in Edmonton, Alberta. And
I'll be there.
Will you? Well,
yep, I'll be there. Come down and see me. I'll be in the big yellow truck.
Okay. Well, cool.
The man down there, if you go in the sand trap, that he's going to pull you out.
Oh, no.
I'm the guy you want to see, but you don't want to see at the same time.
That's right. if you don't see him all weekend long, you had a good week.
There you go. Hey, Ron, I got a quick question for you. How physically demanding is racing one of these bikes?
Well, there's a lot of, I listened earlier to Stan there talking about body English and that becomes a lot more pronounced on what we're riding there. I mean, our bikes are, anywhere from 800 to 1,000 horsepower, depending on the tune-up and the percentage of fuel you're putting in it. So it's a lot of body English to keep that thing in the groove. You can't lean it. You got a 14-inch tire on the back. Once you lean a bike, say if it was going left and you tried to lean it right, well, it's getting on the edge of that tire and it's going to actually dramatically push you harder to the left of what you're trying to get away from. So what you got to do is keep the bike physically level and move your body over to get it away from the left side of the track or the right side. And it takes a lot of, and again, depending on your tune-up and the setup on the bike, If it goes straight down the middle, it's an easy ride on the back wheel and the wheelie bars. And if it starts moving around and spinning the tire, well, then you got to physically move that thing. And it's got to go where you want it to go.
So, I mean, and also the aerodynamics of the bike and the way you sit on the bike, do you physically have to hold on?
We actually sit right down in the bike, so, you know, sit behind the motor there, and when we're planted on that thing, it's not a hold-on as much as it is just a sit into the thing. And it, like I say, it's up on the back wheel and on a wheelie bars right off the start line, and, you know, this weekend here in qualifying, mine was carrying it right down to the 1,100, 1,200-foot mark and then just kind of skipping the front wheel. And on a good tune-up, that thing should have carried it right through the lights.
So, now, I see here that you design these bikes, you build bikes. Do you build the bikes to fit the rider to the aerodynamic of the bike?
Well, we try to get in behind our little windshield, you might want to call it there, but it isn't really aerodynamic as a pro stock in NHRA. You look at them guys, and they spend lots of time in a wind tunnel on the bike, tucking in and stuff. And I really haven't heard a lot of guys with the Top Fuel Harleys getting into the wind tunnel and having that opportunity. And, you know, right now it's just to get in and get behind that windshield as best you can and tuck down there.
Well, it's basic.
We do get, and the record, I believe right now, is 226 mile an hour and a quarter mile. And that's moving pretty quick, and that's at 6.23 seconds,
yeah.
I think, is
6.23, yeah.
Yep.
That's so insane.
It's pretty controllable stuff. You know, everybody thinks it's kind of right out there and really dangerous, but, I mean, you're in a controlled environment there. The worst situation for you to get into is if you run into something, and that's not going to really happen on a racetrack unless you happen to run into the other guy in the other lane. But, you know, you look through the history of our stuff there through the last 5 or so years, it's been really safe stuff.
Well, that's awesome. Ron, keep us posted on your R&D, what you come up with. And
especially this blower deal.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be groundbreaking.
Well, it definitely will. And like I say, you know, some financing backing there would definitely help on that situation. You know, I've got a few good sponsors that help me out, Redline Oil, and they make some good products out there, and they've helped me out greatly over the years. And you know, any sportsman racer all the way up to the pro racers, without some help from friends and sponsors, it makes it a hard, tough deal to do.
Well, Ron,
out there we do it.
Ron, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You got us a lot of information on this deal, and we hope to have you back on real soon.
Yeah, anytime I could. I appreciate you guys there, and I'll be listening to your show. Thanks again.
Thank you, Ron.
So, Stevie, tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, it's going to be just a few weeks of R&R from the Harleys, but I will be bringing on some guests here, which I'll give you the names of them here in just a few days as I make some more contacts. But it's not that far. The next one we're going to South Dakota to a town called Sturgis. And when we roll into Sturgis, I assure you I'm going to do my best to do it live. And if I can pull that off, we're going to be live at Sturgis. I have no idea if it's going to be bike racing or babes, but one of the two we're going to have on the air. So, you guys, you don't want to miss that. Just please keep listening. Whenever we do it, it's going to be crazy, I promise you.
Stevie, it's going to be wild from Sturgis.
And this will be my first trip.
What's the date on Sturgis? What's the date on Sturgis?
You're asking me, and I don't have my sheet in front of me.
Okay. Well, we'll arrange it all. We'll work it all out. And
well, they can go right to the All-Harley Drag Racing Association and check the out.
Yeah, we'll work it all out. And I'll tell you what, those guys were pretty cool, man.
It's super neat to meet.
Yeah, Stan Shepard and Ron. How do you pronounce Ron's last name? I still don't have it figured out.
Honey.
Oh, Ron Honey?
No, not Honey.
Oh, okay. Stan Shepard. That's pretty cool.
but, yeah, they definitely are. And now Ron races in a group of Harley racers up there in Canada, too, which he never did mention on that. But they have a group they race at out west. And like he said, he does make an occasional trip to the East Coast, and depends on where he's at on the point and so on. And it's a super nice guy, and one right. bad bike, that's all I can say.
All right, man.
Well, okay, Stevie, we'll be looking forward to next week, brother.
Absolutely. You just never know who's going to be on next week.
All righty.
All right.